This one's right on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I declare the march, this meeting opening cool on the 20th of February. Well, knowledge of country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which the meeting is held and pays its respect to elders both past and present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Please turn off mobile telephones, please.
And just a reminder to councillors and those members present to the meeting is recorded, so please no defamatory remarks during the meeting.
And call for apologies or leave of absence.
Have apologies, Mr. Mayor, from councillors Clancy, Lewis and Doolin for a range of reasons. Acceptance of those apologies.
We have councillor Brady, councillor Hill. Confirmation minutes of the meeting held on the 12th of December 2019. No councillor Cable, councillor Shedden. Any business arising from these minutes? No business? Okay. Put the motion, those in favour, carried unanimously. Disclosure of interest, pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary. Mill? No pecuniary interest. Mayoral minutes. Mayoral minutes, log activity, kilometres travelled and expenses for November 2019. Okay. Move Councillor Cable, second to Councillor Shenton. Any debate on this item? I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried. Mayoral minute number one. How councillors monthly travel claims. Mover, Councillor Brady, Councillor Shenton. Any discussion this item? I've got one thing. I'd like to move that we put everybody's travel agreements in the business paper so people can see where everybody's going. Have we got a second?
As in the dates.
Yeah, like I've got to put in. Second accounts of cable.
Yeah, I don't think I'm on that order.
Any more discussion on this item?
So is it just this form?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, do you mean those blue forms as attachments?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Mr. Mayor, there's already a motion before Council by Councillors Brady and Shenton. Probably be more appropriate to include that if they're agreeable to include that in their motion.
Yeah, to my name.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Opens up the book,
won't
it?
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody in favour?
Yep.
Yeah.
Councillor Nutley, right.
Put the
motions
to me.
I'll put the motion, those in favour. Gary. Item number three, delegates report. Second, Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Yeah, carried unanimously. Delegates report at ALG National Road Congress held in Adelaide. Yeah. Can I move on? Councillor Shepherd.
Okay.
Councillor Hill.
Yep.
Any discussion on this?
Are there any hydrogen fuels in Australia yet?
One.
Where is it? That
was at the conference.
Is it operating or is it registered? Only trial runs, that's all. Yeah, just to show people that it can do what they claim it can do.
Okay.
But it's not cheap.
It wasn't a semi, it was a large flat.
You know, the HR, heavy rigid. Yeah, so, but it was very impressive because there was no motor. You know, it's just crazy. But anyway, but it was exactly the same shape as if it had a motor up the front. But it wasn't there. So, very impressive.
Yeah, we're all covered in that item. I had one too before. Nothing. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Yeah, carried unanimously. Item 5, Inland Rail Networking Session held in Narrabri, 21st of January. Move Councillor Cable, Councillor Shelton, second. Any questions on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 6, Delegates Inland Grove Summit 2020 held in Dubbo, Thursday the 30th of January. The mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Nutsi, seconder. Any discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 7, Minutes Internal Audit Committee Meeting. Mover. Councillor Cable, Councillor Nutsi. Any discussion on this item?
Can I just ask through you, Mr. Mill, why the Internal Audit Committee is looking at external audit? Well, I thought they'd be more interested in the workings of the council itself rather than what the auditors are up to.
Basically, they need to probably work in a bit of harmony between the two. So they're interested in particular how well management deals with the external audit, and obviously from the external auditor's point of view, they're interested in what the internal audit committee are looking at. For instance, they've got one of the actions that I've got on their plan is to do with our project management. So it sort of signs off a little bit for each of them. And by keeping in contact, they're able to give a better picture overall.
Yeah.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item 8, minutes of the Arana Joint Organisation meeting, the 9th of December. Can I move on? Councillor Cable, Councillor Nutsi, seconder. Any discussion? No questions? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 9, minutes of the Traffic Advisory Committee. Yes. Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill, second. Yep. Councillor Cable.
I'd like to know why they voted against the safe cycling signage when Midwestern are doing it. It's done down there, so why is it any different?
because it'd be a boost to encourage people coming into the Shire cycle for weekends, things like that, to make it safer.
So these signed through you, Mr. Mayor. They're proposing to put sort of a sticker on guideposts as a way of delineating a bike track. And yes, the bike track proposal wandered around the road from Mudgee up through Warramungu Shire to the Canoe Forest and everywhere. But in a sense, the RMS thought it was not a good use of guideposts.
Is it a different RMS to who signs off for Midwest? I just find it interesting. It stops at the border.
Yeah. Well, the information from the RMS at the meeting, I believe, through Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to be corrected, is that they weren't approving it.
That's right. They're not approving it.
Well, apparently it's happened down there already, according to somebody driving it in our shire. So are they going to remove them, or...?
Well, I don't know about
it
that.
It just seems odd to me.
Well, the letter that we got said that they weren't printing up any of the stickers until they got approval from all of us. So that was the last stage. But she said to us that there was no approval from the RMS on any of them. So that was that.
Who would all of us, Peter?
The three council areas that it's running through. Yeah, so... and with ours, some of the tracks that they've taken, I don't know what they were going to use because we don't have markers on them. They're bush tracks, so there was no indication of how they were going to mark those tracks either. So, it looked like it wasn't very well organised at that stage.
Okay, well, I'll follow up with the person who approached me, but as far as they're aware, Midwestern, it's rolling out.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 10, RRC, P55 Advisory Committee, 16th of December. Mover? Councillor Nutsi, seconder. Councillor Brady. Any discussion on this item? You got anything to comment, Mr. General Manager? Anybody, any discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Minutes for the Australia Day Award 2020 Committee Meeting, 18th of December. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Nutsi. Any discussion this item? I can say that if nominations were terrible. Nominations were terrible in those places.
What, these or the local ones?
The amount of numbers.
The amount of numbers, there, yeah.
Not the people that were nominated.
They complained because they didn't get money in Canberra. They had nominated one. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Office of Local Government S43 report. Councillor Cable, Councillor Brady. In discussion this item? Anybody got any discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Council committees. For the motion,
Mr. Mayor, just an addition there. item point two in the recommendations should also include Macquarie Regional Library. I believe there's been a resolution of the committee to wind up.
We got a mover? Councillor Capel, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion on this item? Do you have anything to discuss on this matter? I'll put the motion that Councillor Nutley carried unanimously. Council resolution report, February 2020. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Nutsi. Councillor Cable.
Resolution 377-18-19 to do with the local history group at Kuna. There was a meeting earlier this month. Did it get all sorted?
We just may also work on.
Any more discussion on this item?
I can talk to that if you wish.
Yes, you can.
So a few of us met with the Historical Society. As most people know, this has been an ongoing discussion. They have issue with the amount of paperwork they have to do. They have issue with the amount of money that they're being asked to pay. They had a meeting about 2 weeks ago, and Councillor Shinton, Councillor Doolan and I were there, and we talked through the things and we tried to explain to them that many of the issues are in fact operational issues and that they should give the council staff the opportunity to resolve their issues rather than necessarily seek council intervention by way of motions, etc. I think they understood that. But we did encourage them to keep the communication open with us in case they weren't satisfied with how things were going. I think many of their concerns were due to miscommunications and perhaps misunderstandings on both sides. I don't think you can really say it's one side or the other. Some of them are very simple everyday things like signage and exposure and hours of operation. Very day-to-day things that shouldn't be hard to fix. With respect to the money, we did try to explain to them that they're paying less money now than what they were, but there was no reason why the money couldn't be renegotiated. They drew examples of other towns' historical societies and how they pay less, and I think that's worth noting for all of us. If we don't want to be setting a precedent that one town pays more than others, so that's food for thought. There was another issue which was new material in my mind. They found some documents, well, they are the Historical Society after all, that suggested that the Visitors Information Centre was in fact built for a number of functions, and one of the functions was in fact to house them. So they found that was quite new, and if that's factual, which it appears to be, I think it does change the discussion in their favour, admittedly. But I think that's fair enough. If that's really what it is, that's really what it is. So anyway, I think we had a good meeting, and I think that they were willing to re-engage with the council staff, and we just wait to see what happens.
Thank you.
Any more debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Capel, carried unanimously. Item 15, rebates report. Remover, Councillor Nutsi, Councillor Hill. Discussion, Councillor Capel.
I just want to clarify, Kevin Ty said to me at one point that the funds left over from Bowen Oval were
unable to be reallocated, they had to go back to department. Yet in the document that says they were reallocated to Baradance, which is it?
They have been reallocated to Baradance. Probably at the time when Kevin gave you that advice, that was the advice we had from the State Department, but we made further representations to them about changing that, and they accepted that and allowed us to move the money to Barron.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussions on Councillor Gable?
The respite centre feasibility study, it states it's concluded and we're now in consultation. I haven't seen anything.
No, sorry, that's not my understanding, sir.
That's
that one with me?
That's what the document said, that's all.
So what was part you put there?
I was in the revote list under
criteria.
In the attachment. If I go out of this, it takes me half a day to get it.
Let me take that one,
page one.
On notice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just haven't seen anything advertised or sent out to us or.
No,
the study or any of
that. Only in the early part of it, as far as I was aware.
Just said it's
concluded,
that's all.
Four choice of
words,
is it?
Any more discussion this item? So I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 16, delivery program progress report. 31st of December. I'll move up, Councillor Cable, Councillor Shenton. Any discussions on item, Councillor Cable?
Just got a question. In the executive services, with the social media and the amount of advertising promotion and whatnot, could we possibly have in the social media, once the business paper is on the website, a social media release doing a link across to the business paper? I have mentioned this before, informally, but I'm formally mentioning it now because I think when you go, it's a bit of a clunky website to navigate. A direct link would make it so much easier for people to find the business papers.
Yep.
And my
go
other one was under compliance, the microchipping, no one trained. Is it possible until somebody's trained to do some arrangement with local vets or with RSPCA to come?
Miss Ryan, any idea when we may have those people trained?
We have a compliance officer who's done the injury side of it. She's just in the process now of getting her practical skills up. And there's only microchipping she's got to do in accompanying a vet, so that, you know, we know she's doing it right, so she's not far off that.
Weeks, months?
Yeah, can't predict that for a long time.
And my other one is that the youth development with the numbers, and it's not meeting the target, I'm asking what youth development programs? We don't see a lot.
Do you, Matt? The programs that we're doing are mainly through the what's called the Community Connections person. Now, one of the examples is the extra funds that we got in for the January activities. But there are also things that we support to do with the Centre Care. So when you, I'll refer you to also the annual report for last year, and there's some documentation there that indicated what you've done in the past. Just for your information, council resolved to undertake a youth strategy document. If we could gain grant funds for that, we had a go at getting grant funds. That wasn't successful, but I can tell you that we have actually got a draft in the making right now, and hopefully we'll bring that to council within the next couple of months, where you get to see what we're really talking about across the whole of the show.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Harry? Unanimous. Item 17. Cessation of service approval by Warrumbunga Shire Council of Castlereagh Family Care Daycare. Got a mover?
Sorry. Throw it away.
Got a mover? Councillor Shinton? Yeah. Councillor Hill? Any discussion on this item? Anybody got any discussion?
Just once again, as I said about this time last year, this was a very poor effort on the part of this council in terms of how it managed this program. It looks very much like the horse has bolted now, and that there's no way we can host this sort of business any longer. It's a great shame. Thankfully, Gunnedah has kept the families in Coonabarabran under their wing, under its wings, and we'll keep the family daycare scene going within our shire. However, again, it's a great shame that we couldn't do this ourselves.
Any more discussion? Any more discussion this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried in.
No, I'm against.
Yeah. Councillor Nucci, Radwick, vote against it. Item 18, quarterly budget review statement, the second quarter ending the 31st of December 2019. Mover. Councillor Capel, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion on it, Councillor Capel?
I don't think that private works is promoted well at all, and it hasn't been since I've been on here, and I've actually even engaged council services once, but it was even an issue at that point. So if we plan to make money out of it, we need to do better there.
Any suggestions, Kevin?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just off the top of my head, no, I have to say that we don't have a program of advertising our services.
If you've got them working on a road area, if you can let the landowners have a bit of notice while the gear is in the area, that's the time to do the access to various properties as well. That's what we personally did. There was work done on Oakdale Road, so we paid to do it right through to the house because the gear was there. Now, I'm lucky. I get to see, and I have to read it all, so I was aware they were coming, so we could plan for it. But if others get notification a few weeks in advance, they can prepare, decide whether they can and can't, and you might pick up a lot more road works going from the public road through to the property's entrance.
Sure, look, and through you, Mr. Mayor, just thinking about it, you know, it's been a pretty tough time. I mean, we have been able to attract private works while we're grading opportunities and maintenance in the past, but it may be just a sign of the times too, that we're in an area that there's nothing to grade.
Well, there is now.
There is now.
A lot of roads need fixing at the moment to people's places for access to trucks.
The other side of the argument, though, is that I've certainly been at places where there has been criticism of council for competing against private contractors. So how hard does council want us to be out there competing?
Just let people know. I mean, yeah. We've got a private contractor arriving tomorrow. For that type of work, we'd never engage council. But if they're actually working on the road and it's just a continuation over the ramp and up to the house, well, it makes sense, because otherwise you're having to float heavy vehicle out at great expense just to do, you know, 200 metres. It's not economically feasible in those situations.
Mr. Mayor, just on another issue, Mr. Parker has just to update council item on a particular section of the report that's changed.
On the page 47, there's a comment there to do with 459 late debtors that have got balances over $300 and amounted to $1.39 million. I've said that we were to send out demand letters to those particular individuals or companies, and at this stage that hasn't been done. So we notified council that we were to do it. We have in last year sent a letter of outstanding balance. Quite a polite letter of outstanding balance, hoping that as many individuals as possible would contact council about what payment terms they might be able to manage or arrangements they could actually do. And in that process, we went from 1,100 down to the 459 that we've got now. So seemed to be well received, as much as it can be. The second part of that, we actually followed it up. Instead of just going straight to the idea of a demand letter, we followed it up with a further letter to make sure that we weren't putting the screws on straight up in the circumstances. So we're now to the point that even with a demand letter going out, that was council's with council's concurrence, we would still be doing the thing that the council recommended last year, which was to make sure that we at least made individual telephone calls to the people concerned to make sure that even after that demand letter, we gave them further opportunity to talk to a person to person. And so it would be my intention to send that demand letter, but leave it up to the council to provide your input to this issue.
Councillor Nancy.
Look, I like the new approach. We were getting a lot of flack from the community about the previous approach. I think it was very heavy-handed. It's clearly a great worry that we have so many outstanding rates, but we are in a very difficult economic period. We've had this bad drought. One would hope with some rain now things will correct themselves a bit. It was also worth noting, and it was before your time, so I will repeat it, that previous managers who are not sitting around this table now were of the view that outstanding rates and charges were a good way to draw extra revenue because they attracted interest and fees. As councillors, we were horrified at hearing that, and that's why we've taken these steps to have a more dignified approach to such matters. So I compliment you on following what we had thought was a better approach.
You've had anybody come in saying they can't pay their rates this year?
Yes.
What do you tell them?
Basically, you can't get blood out of the sun, and under the circumstances, we haven't gone to the next step.
You haven't said they're not getting a letter from the solicitor.
Deputy Mayor's right about the next step. Once we hand it over to our follow-up people, this is where other costs start getting added, and it's ridiculous then to add another $400 or $500 to a bill that someone can't pay already. Mm. So this is a property debt, so it doesn't go away. There is interest that gets added to it, unless there's people in question actually applied for under the hardship provisions that the Local Government Act has. The other thing that we're updating, and it's probably halfway through, is that the debt recovery and hardship policy that Council's had in the past hasn't really been, what I'd say, complete. And so we're to the process almost to bring that forward to Council to give input to that policy, because ultimately, if it was good seasons, you would also have a provision in there for sale for unpaid rates as well, to be completed at some stage. So, you know, it's serious business, and a lot of people out there are hurting. So I'll leave it to your guidance on this one.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, are they offered payment plans?
Yes.
Do many take up that option, or they just ignore it?
Between the 1,100 and 459, obviously we have been working with them as much as possible. So now it's down to this crop that, for some reason, haven't contacted us. And as I say, we had two what I could consider not oppressive type of letters going out, other than when you receive it, of course. Oh dear, I've got that much outstanding. So we're making progress on it, but as you mentioned, it's difficult times to pick out the ones that probably could pay and the ones that can't.
If I may, one more question, just with respect to our buy local policy. Have our local law firms been offered this recovery work, or is it stuff that can't be done by them?
Not that we have offered it there. There was current agreement with the group in that we're using at present. The one thing that you find with these other groups, they're very set up for...
I'm sure that's why I'm asking. I don't know how it
works.
They're
very set up to actually do it efficiently and effectively and as I suppose gently as they can, and they are very receptive to any comments that we make in dealing with people.
And don't take this as a criticism, but just an idea. If maybe the letters were coming from law firms in town, and there is more than one, if they're names that the ratepayers recognise, they may be more inclined to respond rather than put up the defences, but that can work the other way as well. Mm. They might think, oh well, familiarity breeds contempt. I'm just putting out ideas for consideration.
You are right that for the ones that are difficult at any time, a change of the way you do things is usually a good thing. So by moving from council to a recovery firm or to some other mechanism, a change of paper, colour of a paper can also, not a red, but maybe a yellow or something, it can actually just spark what we're wanting is people to talk to us. And so we're to that point where we think we've got the 459 that haven't talked to us for some reason, and we need to go through that process of... There'll be some in there that would find it, it might be the last part of the equation for them, and we wouldn't want to drive those people to the wall whilst we're trying to pursue what's a high level of rate debt. You know, we're over the local government. The local government ratio as at the end of June last year, and the ratio that there right now of 14% or whatever, 14.7%, is not actually an effective ratio during the year. The ratio only works the way the local government's got it constructed when, as at the end of a financial year, because it takes into account what was brought forward from the previous year as part of the equation. So, but it does indicate that we've got a big issue when you're talking about 10% of our rates rates balance.
What rates of rural to town not being paid?
The bulk of the money here would be rural ratepayers.
Sorry to indulge again. The quarries figures look even more alarming than the ratepayer figures. Any comments on that or any ideas on how to fix this?
The quarry? I think you'll find we'll be looking to close the quarry in the near future. It's coming to the end of its life, well, existing life, and we don't have anything in place to go into the new land, and we don't have approval, and Kevin will need to clarify this for me, but we don't have approval to take over the Crown Road. That request has been rejected, I believe.
Through Mr. Mayor, that for council to expand its operations into the Red Hill, a number of things need to happen, and acquisition of the Crown Road that separates the Boral property with council property hasn't occurred. The process is stalled for a number of reasons, and so that's one element. The other factor, of course, is that to expand into Red Hill requires a development application being designated development, and that's a process that could take 12 months, 18 months at least.
I think you're selling short that process. I think it's going to be much longer if you want to get approval. Isn't Crown Road the real issue? That, of course, we haven't been able to get access to it.
Crown Road is a significant issue at the moment, yes.
What is the reason? Condition concerns,
do I
have some memory? Yeah, but what is the reason Crown
Road
is
on it? For instance, the last I heard was either a user made pipeline over Crown Road, over the road, so it was stolen, and that's happened since when council first resolved to purchase the road, to getting paperwork in and surveyors plans and things like that has happened during that period of time. From memory, that was the last I heard of it, but I think it's changed from that.
Any more discussion?
We've got to get back to what you're getting into with your rates. There's 459 phone calls have got to be made. Have you figured out what you're going to say? Because some people are going to get abusive straight away, aren't they? I would imagine if you don't do it properly.
It can be done. I think I'd take on board the feeling of the council if, rather than going to a demand letter and then the phone calls, you're basically saying phone calls and then...
Well, you've said here that following the demand letter period being elapsed, each remaining rep would be able to get the phone call, so that's in the third lowest, fourth lowest...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I haven't actually proceeded with that demand letter at this time.
Okay.
I was about to press the button,
yep.
And then discussions with the GM, it was thought that it'd be best to bring it to council at that time. So you were aware of it.
Yep.
So we can consider doing the other way around, but it's just a part of the job, unfortunately. It might well be we could contract the group to actually do it instead of ourselves, but I could look at either of those things and see what might work the best.
Yep.
And it would be I think the fact that you make a phone call, what would you rather, you know, receiving it in the mail? It could be that we send a letter to say, please expect a phone call from council. That might be another way of going, and that way it's sort of, so please contact council. So we could do that. It adds another certain amount of cost, but I think we're at that point where it would be very hard to do it the other way under the circumstances.
Now they're fooled if they don't contact the council in the first place. Yeah.
Well, you can say that, you can say that at times, but of course some people are highly embarrassed, some people are already depressed, some people are... Yeah.
Any more on this item?
Well, it looks like, in my opinion, we should make the phone call before we send, or maybe send a letter warning that, you're going to get a phone call from council, outlining the, our problems, like that we're over the ratio, this is income, it's by law you've got to pay. I don't know what you do with the 103 that have said they can't pay. What do you do there? You just write, put it on the property and...
The debt is a property debt.
Okay.
Generally, when you kick the sale for land for unpaid rates in, generally you can go to a sale for unpaid rates within 2 years if it's vacant land and the rates have got over the value of the land.
Yep.
But they're likely to be town blocks or small blocks out in the rural areas. Probably not a lot of difference either way there, but to get back to what we're talking about here, it sounds like do another letter, 459 letters, something along the lines that we'll be talking to you, please contact council, and so on, and advise of the different levy.
I think that'd be the most palatable way of doing it.
I'd one bloke with a $40,000 rate to ring me, and I tell him to ring council. Any more items on this trust in this? I'll put the motion, those in favour. Yep, carried unanimously.
Page number 52, Mr. Mayor, item number 19, investments in term deposits for the 31st of December. Recommendations on page 57.
I'll move it, Councillor Cable. Second, Councillor Nutsi. Let's go to this item. Discussion. I'll put the motion. Yeah, Councillor
Nutsi. Oh, I was going to vote for
it. Carried unanimously. Item 20, investment and term deposits, month ending 31st of January. Move that, Councillor Cable. Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item? I put the motion, those in favour. Unanimous. Item 21, houses owned by Councillor Mervin, Councillor Brady, Councillor Hill.
Just got a comment, just what General Manager said about the quarry and Red Hill and whatever else. If the quarry, you know, if that's our thoughts with the quarry closing in the near future, what's the point of owning Red Hill right next door? Why isn't it on this list to sell?
Well, it's a different list to start with. The list that's here before you tonight is more about power and council residences. While there is a residence at Red Hill, that's not its main purpose. The main purpose for it is, was as I understood, pertaining for potential expansion of the quarry. So this report's just about those residences in urban areas that we're keeping for staff accommodation or similar. Of course, one of the houses that we do have here is for doctor accommodation.
Is, no offence to who built it, not the most attractive dwelling, but I think 84 Martin Street is a fine house. I think it's short-sighted to be selling houses when you possibly have two large wind farms being put here. That's going to put pressure on staff finding houses in this town if they're new to the town. And I actually think it's a no-brainer to actually have one or two up at Kernaghan, because when you bring in staff on a trial, it's usually a 3-month trial, and most houses at least for 6 months, and that's got to be a factor that determines whether they're going to turn up or not, if they can possibly get landed with 3 months of rent if they lose their job.
In response to your comment about short-sightedness, you will recall that this is something we've workshopped with councillors.
Yes, I know that. And I said that at the time.
Well, no, I don't think you actually did.
I just said that I could see Fort Irwin is not suitable for people's standards today, but I have said the whole time. And I pointed out 84 Mart Street, it's a good, solid
house. I thought we changed this to accommodate your... your request?
No, I said at the time the number 4 I could live with.
Because we changed one property to another, I thought that was...
Yeah, because you had, there was a smaller... No, I couldn't understand why we were selling the brick home. Yeah, but I actually think this is a short-sighted decision. So that's my personal opinion. It's a democracy.
But as I said, I thought we had changed one of those houses at your request. And
no, I just pointed out I didn't understand why you were going to be selling a home.
My recollection is you then put forward another house that we should be selling in its place.
No, I didn't put forward to sell. I just said I didn't understand why you would have one over the other when one would be cheaper maintenance going forward.
Yes, yes. And then
but I don't actually agree with selling the houses. I have no qualms with 4 Irwin Street. I think it would be a hard sell to put people in that particular home, because people's expectations today are quite different to when it was built. But I just think with what the potential of what could be happening down here, this could be a bit short-sighted. And as I've stated before, I actually think we should be looking to have some form of housing at Kernaghan as well for staff when they first come in.
But the part of the reason for looking at selling properties, of course, is to help try and improve council's financial position, which is, you know, we are carrying a lot of appreciation, we are carrying a lot of expenses, and trying to remove some of those was what was agreed upon at that workshop.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of other wastages that should be
quite the... there have been a lot of other wastages which have been dealt with. It's just not looking at the assets, and there are other assets that we do need to look at, and there's going to be some difficult decisions. Now, not for this council, but certainly the next council, they have to be made. But Kevin, is this the property that was changed?
It was discussed, as mentioned in the report through Mr. Mayor, that if council were to set houses, they should sell houses that require painting, and it was just, that the exterior requires painting, and there was talk about 17 Kyle Street, but 17 Kyle Street, while it's not a brick house, there are two properties, there's an A and a B, and even though the exterior from time to time requires painting, internally it's quite a good property.
Where do we go?
Put to the vote.
Both or one?
Those in favour of selling the houses.
Well, I'll just put the recommendation in.
Put the recommendation, those in favour?
Yep.
I'm against, and we're two against. It's carried.
I record Todd and Cable against this man.
Regional Freight Network Roadmap. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion on this item?
I noted that there was pressure to bring the Wobbegar Road into this. Into the plan. That has been quashed, hasn't it? We're not bringing the Wobbegar Road into the plan.
Kevin protested.
Mr. Mayor, when I saw that the freight map, the regional freight map, has proposed excluded Wobbegar Road, I objected.
Oh, you wanted there, do you?
I didn't. I thought Wobbegar Road has potential to be a regional freight route. And the council in the past has proposed it as a regional freight route.
And what do the committee think of that?
They don't know yet.
They don't know yet.
They haven't made up their mind.
Oh, right, yeah.
Roger and went to the meeting the other day.
Yeah, the Mayor and I attended a meeting with the Department of Infrastructure people, along with Mark Cook, and during that we were putting forward potential roads for improvement under the Roads of Strategic Importance Program, which I think is $300 million allocated to New South Wales, I think $140 or $150 allocated to Queensland, and $50 million to Victoria. Anyway, we were putting forward, or more specifically, the Mayor was putting forward the Barradine Wobbegar Road as a road of importance that they should be considering.
And Mark Colton set up to push hard for it.
And what's the thinking for Vinegaroy Road not being on it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It is about demonstrating vehicle counts and truck volumes. Certainly it does carry trucks, but not to the same volume. Obviously the Blackstone Way and obviously the Golden Highway. You can't have every road as a freight route. And similarly with Warren Bungles Way. Was not included. I couldn't find the justification in terms of in the traffic volume to justify it.
So what volume does justify the changing over?
Well, it is volume. So a road like Barradine Road or Pellegal Road, we've got about 400 to 500 vehicles a day. Truck volumes around about 100 per day on average. That's a sort of benchmark. I will say, Mr. Mayor, that Tool Arena Road's included in them, and that's been long pushed more from other shires. Has seen it, and you can as a regional network because it will cut down on time, travel time savings. I'm not sure by including Finningroy Road and perhaps Warrumbunga Way that you'd be able to claim that it's going to save travel time.
That's if you're going north to Sydney. Coming from the north.
Yeah.
So through you, Mr. Chidalemi Road, then what's the how much is unsealed?
Oh, 3 k's.
Oh, within Warrumbunga Shire, it's 4 to 5 k's unsealed, and I'm not sure about the. I understand that most of the road in the Shire is unsealed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Lucky there's a decent bridge on.
We're on discussion this.
A couple of decent bridges.
I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 23, Kula Historical Society and Kula Men's Shed. I'll put the motion. No, any quick discussion on this item?
We've
got a mover.
Mover. Oh,
I'll
move
it for discussion.
Councillor
Hill? Yeah. Councillor Cook. Brady? Any discussion?
Councillor Cable,
yes.
I do agree it's probably a better facility for the VRA, but I don't think you're going to make many friends in the Historical Society. but I am aware the Historical Society is looking at another place as we speak. So I don't know what the outcome will be of that meeting. Unfortunately, it couldn't be held earlier in the week.
Any more discussion? Councillor Hume?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the item. In the recommendation item D, Kula Men's Shed is responsible for legal costs associated with preparing the lease agreement. Surely it would be a standard performer. It's only $1 a year that we're charging them. How much would the legal fees be?
Wouldn't be cheap, I would imagine. No.
But why do we need this? Why do we need this?
I don't know either.
Why do you need legal or a lease?
Well, I think if you drew up a lease that was between council and I'll call it a volunteer organisation like these fellas, why would we want to have a legal agreement of that sort of veracity? Why don't we just have an MOU type thing that is between us and them, and we all agree and we sign? Not
well, good. What does Dunny do use? Airmanship, do you have a legal?
It's on the showground.
It's on the showground.
Well, for property protection of council, you want a properly written up lease. Now, if you don't want a properly written up lease, then so be it. A memorandum of understanding can be done, but you do need to understand a memorandum of understanding has no legal grounds.
But again, how much would it cost, do you think, to draw one of those up? Have we got any idea?
Oh, I don't, Mr. Tremis, I don't have any idea of the cost.
And a 5-year lease but has to be registered, doesn't it?
And
that costs you money.
Given the number of such agreements that we would enter into with different types of organisations, would it not make sense for us to get some sort of lease template drawn up that can be just given to the various organisations? We just specify the relevant properties, names of organisations, and just use it moving forward. Could we do something simple like that?
I agree with
perhaps
the councillor on that point, but the other issue is 5 years is supposed to be registered.
I think it depends what type of land it's on. Community land or operation land.
It's on the depot land, council land. The other difficulty sometimes when you're dealing with an organisation like Men's Shed, they have their own requirements for leasing, so there'll be toing and throwing, and so between councils, solicitors and their solicitors, I would expect. So there's cost associated with that.
For a volunteer group to bear the legal costs, that's tough, that they're more likely to can't afford it or whatever. Right. And I think by defining in the motion the timeframes and whatnot could lead to having to register the lease. And as I said, there are substantial charges around a registered lease for a not for profit.
So if you want to, you can just say remove it by the F.
Just pretending to do something, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. And how much would changing the use DA cost? How long? How much changing the use? Depends on what the
The DA would be required no matter what, that wouldn't it?
Yes, but if we've got that plus the legal fees plus registering, the 5-year lease, you kind of get three zeros off behind it in fees. And that's a lot for a not-for-profit to bear, especially one coming out of hiatus.
Would you like to move a motion, Councillor Gable?
I'm thinking.
There's a motion already on the books, Mr. Mayor. There'd have to be an amendment.
Amendment.
Mr. Mayor, could I just make a comment? I'm pretty sure that there is a standard lease template provided by our commercial lawyers. I'm pretty sure it's been used out here, but sure. I know that every time you have an MOU or something like that, it usually comes back to bite you later because it's not, it doesn't pay a price. So I would always recommend, regardless of who pays the cost, that we should have a standard lease agreement so that we don't get into those sorts of issues. So okay, then it's up to where you pay for it. Okay, you might be talking about $2,000 or what for this to be done. If we're doing this for every organisation in the council, probably with the general manager, it ends up costing council $50,000 a year, one way or the other.
Yeah, I understand that, but if you start having every not-for-profit fall over because they're financial obligations are just too much. We've got a very sad community, so it's a catch-22. I think we need to have more information brought back around, is there a lease template? And does it need to be registered in this situation? Because if it's a template, that reduces the legal fees around drawing up one. Because the solicitor never misses the payday. And if 5 years it still has to be registered in this situation, we might have to reduce it to 3, so there isn't that cost.
Would you like to move amendment?
No.
Only from personal experience, for simple leases, there are templates you can just buy from the paper shop, which are very straightforward. And in my understanding, for registering leases is only if they're other parties like banks that need to take an interest in the matter. If not, I think they can stand on their own. That's just my understanding. I'm not a lawyer.
Well, we have one with no bank involved and it's registered. Yep, because it's 5 years. First three, it wouldn't have had to have been. Or four, but five, it's registered.
There's a solution straight away. Just make it a shorter lease.
Yep. I'd like to make an amendment, Councillor Cable.
Well, it would have to come from... Are they happy to change?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. This was moved for discussion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Change it to reduce the period of the lease, so it doesn't have to be registered, or at least investigate if this particular circumstance, whether it has to be or not. It won't have to be because it's a dollar lease, the dollar a year rent.
Well, how about we leave it on the table for a month and then get some basic legal advice, which will be useful to guide us for other leases, and then we can make a decision next month.
You move that, do you?
I move a bit left on something.
For the sake of clarity, just say defer it for those purposes.
Defer it, yes.
Yes.
Councillor Nucci, second to Councillor Capel. And everybody in favour?
Yeah.
Yes, I think. Eric Carrigan, now, I think.
Just a comment on that as well, I suppose, is like I've got a storage shed business and I have a template. You know, I have up to 40, 50 people, different people, in lease agreements a year. So, and it cost me about $3,000 to get it done up with EC credit, and, you know, we can do that going forward with all of this.
Item 24, Canterbury Emergency Water Project. Councillor Brady, Councillor Hill. Comment on this item. And the book tells why they got more water than they said it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
At what point will you start possibly extracting any water out of Time Warner Dam now it's suddenly had a bit of a flush? And how long before the turbidity settles that you can access anything out there?
In relation to your first question, I have requested a meeting with some staff to start discussing that particular point. The turbidity, I've taken on advice from the technical staff, but...
should be fairly dirty, I'm suspecting.
But the treatment, what treatment plan is there to do that?
Pretty easily process the raw water and go from there. You know, it's the same as the river water you have it been away and then all the
What is the latest percentage?
Yeah, so previously we didn't get much more in the way of a rise after the Facebook post, so it was just about 43%.
Well, that's good, isn't
big
it?
Job, though.
It is.
Could be full next week.
From your reading.
No, well. Positive.
Any more discussion on this item?
Well, through Mr. Mayor, yeah, just that the hydrogeologist too. Is there only one, is there, in the whole of Australia?
Pretty sure that's the one they engage from my understanding, and he's not
well, he's quite
ill at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So
Any more discussion? I'll put the motion. Councillor Nutty, carried unanimously. Item 25, Canterbury Ground Pipeline, Ground Water Pipeline. Move, Councillor Capel, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion? No discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item Item 26, cooler bore water supply, new bore access license. Councillor Capel, Councillor Chidden. Any discussion this item? No discussion? I'll put the motion, those in favour, carried unanimously. Endorum Water Supply, connect Old River Pump Station, pumping station. A mover? Councillor Hill, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion this item?
Yes, Councillor Lewis phoned up and he, we both thought that the Old River Pumping Station was already connected to the treatment plant.
It has been connected.
Was, well, wasn't it, that was the source of water for Menduran. I thought it was the only one. And then we, to stop pollution from the town, then we went upstream when they sourced the new supply. But the old one must have been connected at some stage to the treatment plant, wasn't it?
I think that was done in the day, or sorry, that was a water source when there's no water treatment plant. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's never been connected to it?
No.
But it has been used for irrigation purposes around town.
Yeah, that's what he was worried about, that it hasn't been used, because he thinks he moved to motion some years ago to keep that supply going to water ovals and things like that. But
it has been.
Yeah.
Though I think it was about 2018 we took it off the parks because it was staining the buildings and the playground equipment and things like that.
Yeah, it's down that park. What about the rest of it?
Okay, no other questions? That was his.
I had a chat to him about it.
Oh, right, okay.
As well.
Any more discussions on them? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Draft charitable donation policy. Mover. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Hill. Any discussion this item? Any discussion? I'll put the motion, those in favour. For Councillor Brady, yeah, unanimously. Item 31, that right?
Item number 29, community participation plan.
No.
Which is on page 83, recommendation page 84.
Mm. That's the motion.
No.
Remove it. Every councillor, the new thing, take Councillor Shinton. Any question to Councillor Cable?
With intensive agriculture, I think it should be more than 14 days on exhibition. If somebody suddenly wants to do a feedlot, I think 14 days is a very short exhibition period.
I'm pretty used to that.
Can I just add, especially when we only have a fortnightly newspaper in two of the communities and monthly in two of the other communities, I'm not sure what Baradine has. So I think it very much limits notifying, and not everyone's online and not everyone wanders in and checks what's on exhibition in the chambers in this town, and four towns don't have a chamber to wander into. So I just think it's 14 days is very narrow for a big If you post something from Kuna, you're lucky to get it in 5 days. If you're notifying your neighbour by mail,
It can take 10 days to nil wrecks. So I just think the time frame is narrow.
If I can bring back and do something about it.
Yeah, especially on the bigger developments that do have impacts, especially, you know, unfortunately, intensive ag in particular is one, or quarries, a big quarry, that's another one that people might have objections to, or...
Yeah, what's the plan now, Leanne?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I will see where intensive ag sits, if it's a legislative time frame, or if it's a council set time frame under a development control plan. We're planning a review of the development control plan anyway, so if I can pick it up in there, I will.
Is that the only issue that council has at this point in time? Because if they're the only issues and we're prescribed by legislation, can I suggest that council adopt the plan subject to those issues rather than
having to...
Is that acceptable, Mr. Mayor?
Happy to everybody. I'll put the motion, those in favour, that's carried, and then a... Item 30, Dunny Do Visit Information, Councillor Enrici. Councillor Hill. Councillor Gable. Any discussion?
No, you know, we'll just have to take it to the next meeting for the development groups and see how we go from there. I was a bit shocked about having to supply the chairs.
Oh, you just wait for lunch item pick up.
I'm trying to get rid of some of my chairs from my surgery. You're welcome to have them.
You put a call out, you'll be fine.
We'll wait to see.
I'll give you six for free if you come and pick them up.
I think it'll fit six, to be quite honest.
Fabulous for the Shire if we can get a visitor information centre going down there. I know this one is good, so we've got to support volunteers keen to do.
Well,
type of thing.
Where are you going to find all those? I'm wondering about the volunteers. Many people want to volunteer to do it.
7 year old, they're right. Any more discussion of this item?
No, that's.
I'll put the item, as in favour. Councillor Hill, you're right.
Yeah, sir. Unanimous. Thank you.
You can tell by the look of your face, you're going to vote, but you. Item 31, Review of Impounding Act 1993. Mover, Councillor Brady, Councillor Mercy. Any discussion this item?
Just got a peripheral comment to make about this. Once upon a time, when I'd go for a walk in Coonabarabran, there wouldn't be many stray dogs because there'd be someone catching them, but now it's almost a daily occurrence when one goes walking in the mornings to see dogs come out of nowhere that are not necessarily belonging to anyone.
Strays or...
Oh, well, how would I know?
No, they're not dumb. They're just roaming dogs.
Roaming dogs around town.
Yeah.
Wild dogs.
They're not wild. They're just not yarded. Free spirited.
Oh, you can't be baiting
dogs. Any more discussion on this item?
Why not? People smart and people don't.
Any more discussion on this item?
I forgot about
it. I'll put the motion, those in favour.
Sorry.
Okay. Unanimous. Inland Rail update. Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Newton.
This is a good read, actually.
Any discussion? I've got one comment. They rang me last week before last about the block going up towards the showground in Berradine for a workers' camp.
So it's looking positive?
Well, that's one company at Rutland, don't you? Come back. Sewage and water and power's their main expense, I think.
Are we talking about many people, do we think?
300.
So it'll be like ants on the ground as it's going through. Yep.
Any more discussion of this item?
No.
I'll put the motion. The Councillor Nutty, carried. Unanimously.
I never knew there was a Tilly Willy Road in Tilly.
Item 33, development applications. Councillor Nutty, moved. Councillor Brady, second. Any comments on these? No discussion?
No.
Comment with the motion? Councillor Nutty, carried.
Yes, sir. Carried. Yes.
Number 34, notice of motion. Curly Euford Community Centre building.
I just ask that to be deferred with the Blaze Aid and the community plan being written. The committee would like a little bit more time to see if they can find another avenue to be able to continue operating it. And
maybe that motion, Councillor?
Yeah, so can I move that motion? Unfortunately, Sal wasn't able to come to speak to it.
Did you want to put a time limit on that or defer until...
Until May, because they're all here in April. And we'll hopefully have a lot of community engagement over that period and we can hopefully get a bit more support around the hall.
You got a second to that? Councillor Nutty?
Thank you.
I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Notice of motion, New South Wales Road Classification Review. The mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. Any discussion of this item?
I just thought I should. Once I read it, I thought we need to start thinking on this because it's not exactly a long time frame to be able to list any roads to see if they're willing to take them or even if it's in our interest for them to take them.
Yes.
Any more discussion, Councillor Hill?
No, I thought similar along similar lines, actually.
Does Kevin have any thoughts?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, certainly something we need to be on top of. But having said that, I haven't seen anything come out about the terms of reference or the strategy about how the criteria they've established for assessing the roads. Even though they have a time frame there, I'm not sure. It's something I don't know about, but they may be already behind that time frame.
The state government?
Which really means that we may have more time than you might think to have a look at it. But certainly we do need to be on top of it. And through you, Mr. Mayor, your point is quite made that. council receives funding now under the block grant and prepare program for regional roads. Will that be affected? How much will that be impacted if some of those roads go to the state government? Because we
will we get the contracts
and sort of things. So they're pretty important decisions. And,
will we continue to get the block grants once they start taking the roads too? That's the other consideration.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. We have 385 kilometres of regional road at the moment, and the block grant is calculated based on road length and bridge length. And so but there are other questions too, apart from that, about use and objectives of the road. And so there's some bigger issues than just perhaps financial as well. But the last time this process occurred was in 1995, and it was a drawn-out process. It took years.
What road did you reckon they'd take if they could take them, Kevin? Any idea?
Well, I'm through, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure. As I said, I don't know the criteria, and I really would like to say. I mean, the roads of regional significance report, I mean, that must play into it as well. The work done by the JO and by what and the federal government looking at the Newell Highway and connecting roads. So, I don't know. As the state government made a commitment that they would take back some of the regional road network. I don't know the criteria upon which they're going to do that.
They're not taking
anything. Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion.
Wait and see. Yes.
Now, it's a motion. Employees benefit on cost. Noted. Councillor Shenton, second of Councillor Hill. Any discussion of this item?
I'd like to know what prompted the motion.
Reading the annual financial statements and seeing the equivalent, full-time equivalent staff has increased from 175 to 177, but the FTE as per the structure, including the vacancies, increased from 204 to 213. So I just wondered what had happened. There's 9 positions extra in I've lost my train of thought here. There's an increase of 9 staff in the structure, which is worth about $1 million. And I just wanted to know how did that happen? Then Roger, as I've said, the general manager has put in a list here, which shows that in 2013 there were 196 staff. We've reduced that now to 177, but the employee costs have gone from 14 million to 16 million. And I was thinking to myself that it's about a 5% increase a year, and I think that's very generous. With all the costs considered, we should have had a reduction, not an increase. So that prompted me to ask, when did we last look at the wage structure? Are we paying too much? Or is that what's happened all around the state? And I was wondering about how many employees do we have compared to councils of equal size? So that's how this all came together, but it all came from just looking at what we have now in staff and what the original structure that we adopted when the general manager started. What's happened? What haven't we filled? What have we filled? Is there more people in that structure than we first saw? Or things like that. That's why I put this motion together.
Yep, any comments?
Just to clarify a couple of points there, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I started in 2018, not 2016.
Oh, that's fine.
And I believe that number of 204, even though it was in the financial statements, which you point out that is correct, but I believe the number was actually incorrect because Council did a organisation restructuring during 2017, and I believe that those positions that were part of that restructure didn't actually make its way into the financial status that you're referring to. So those numbers were in error.
In error.
Yeah, so it should be, by my very rough calculation, you can probably add another 17 positions, full-time equivalent to that 204, so it's probably 221. Since then, several positions have been taken out of the structure, which I spoke about with Council in 2018, and we're going through the process of removing some more as well. But I'll come back with the report so it's much more clear for Council.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Item 37, notice of motion, management of trees along Council Road.
Now, that's from Councillor Lewis, Mr. Mayor. Council here has a couple of choices. One is that it can deal with it now, or it can wait until Councillor Lewis is present.
I propose we wait till he's present.
So defer it till then.
You need a motion on that?
Yes, but just
move it. Yeah, carry.
Who was the second, sorry?
I can do a second.
Oh, who was the mover?
Yeah, we have
there is an item which was left off the business paper, Mr. Mayor. Call it item number 39 for the sake of numbering, which is the minutes of the Coonabarra Brand Town Beautification Advisory Committee. Can there be a motion from Council to deal with that matter, or declare it a business of great urgency and deal with it now? And the reason why I say business of great urgency is I believe there is a meeting coming up of the committee next week.
I'll move. Yeah, Council, who's it?
And they need some clarification as actors.
Any discussion of this item?
No, you just need to put that motion, Mr. Mayor, that business of great urgency.
Business of great urgency. Councillor Newton, Councillor Cable.
No, you've done that. Just put the motion that.
I'll put the motion. You're in favour. Gary.
Are you declaring business of great urgency, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
And there's a recommendation there. The main item that needs to be dealt with is the expansion of the committee. The committee has indicated they'd like to expand the committee size to include all those people that were nominated. I would caution Councillor about that. The more people put in for decision-making purposes, the greater the problems, but it's up to Councillor.
Any discussion at all?
Well, I will speak to it because this is, yeah. You know, we voted on it at the meeting and, you know, majority voted for that. So I'm, you know, supporting the committee in that. But I do just want to comment and say, this is why I stood my ground and said, why don't we do a volunteer committee? Auspiced under another organisation and not a committee of council. Yeah, that's just my comments. But I do not like, and the same sentiments I said then is turning people that are away, that are passionate about their communities and that. But it will be hard to manage.
So we've got some very strong,
minded
people in
that.
There's two councils and six ladies.
Councillor Newton.
I take all of those comments on board. Having seen the list of persons involved, there were some persons of what I would deem considerable talent that were left out, and that would be a great shame. And given how passionate those persons were, I think we need to be inclusive rather than exclusive. If we get feedback from Councillor Brady in 6 months or 12 months' time that it's dysfunctional, we can always put another motion in and trim the numbers and make it competitive again. I think we have that right, and that's one approach. The other thing I'll say is that such committees will inevitably show some attrition as people decide that it's not for them or move out of town or get busy, etc. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if this committee in 12 months' time is half the size that it is now. And I say that with experience as well, having served on many committees in town over the years. It's just the nature of things.
Just to add to that, if I could, councillors, this committee only actually has a life of 7 months from now in any case, given that there's council elections in September, mm-hmm. and after that all Section 355 committees will be declared void and have to be reappointed.
Easier still.
Yeah. Any more discussion, Councillor?
Yeah, I would have thought that it was advertised exactly the way that we approved, and that was that there was six positions, and I would have thought that it was good governance for. I wouldn't have accepted that motion. Actually, I would have said you all applied for a position, knowing full well that it was on a selection basis. And the way it was selected, I didn't agree with, of course. But that's now happened. Those six people were drawn out of the hat, and that's the committee. And I would have thought that the chairman should have pointed out straight away that that's what you applied for, and this is the way it was done, and that's it. You live with what you got. But I'm listening to that 7 months here. It hasn't got long to run, has it? But that's what they applied for. And to my way of thinking, some people might have thought, yep, I've looked at the people who've nominated themselves for these positions, and I think that's a good committee, but now it's open slather. Some people out there may well have applied and haven't been given the opportunity because they realised only six were going in, 14 contesting. But anyway, my feeling is that's a lot of people to manage, and you'll have a hard time, I would think. That's why I would say to say no to that request and stick with the original six.
Councillor Brady.
Now I've had my comments. I think to put it to a vote. I'm going to vote the way of the community.
We actually haven't had a mover or a second to get this thing.
No, I
haven't. Remember, Councillor Brady, I think. Councillor Hill, second up. And what are we voting on, the six?
No, there was voting on
the recommendation.
The recommendation was this.
Yeah. I don't have the copies.
Sorry, it was emailed. It's all
that. I'll put the recommendation.
Motion.
As in favour. Carried.
Have fun.
Those against?
Yeah.
Councillor Shenton against.
6-14.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just two. Oh, there were two against.
Who's the other?
No, I had my hand up, you missed me.
Councillor Hill.
I record Councillor Shitton and Hill against Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
We've got a motion. Can you read it out, Leanne, please? The motion I put.
So, Mr. Mayor, this is an item. Is this a great urgency that you'd like to bring before Council?
Yes, I would. Remover? Councillor.
Can we know what it is first, or do we need to?
So, please, Mayor, it's the shop
the recommendation is that a report be prepared for council regarding the concept of introducing shop local cars across the local government area, including the following information: options for administering the cars, costs to set up the shop local cars, and level of council involvement, including budgetary and resourcing considerations.
Mr. Mayor, is council going to declare that this is great urgency?
I'll declare it great
urgency. No, Mayor, let council need to do it. So, move in a second.
I put the motion. Carried unanimously.
Just a point of order. I thought the mayor can move something of great urgency as a mayoral minute, can't he? Or
once you get into the council meeting,
it's got to be before the council meeting. Oh, I see.
Mayor's declaring business of great urgency.
Yes. Councillor.
Are you planning to have donations run through this as well? Yes,
that as well. So charitable and also
gift card
yeah. Like cause.
Can I suggest then there should be some rules about how that is handled? We have, as you know, the car here, and the people who are running that have very strict governance around how the donations are handled through that for privacy, and I think that has to be part of any report. Who's going to have access to that very personal information?
Yep.
And how it's going to be distributed. There is a system in place down here through nominations, and once all those people have received, and nominations are called for again, and they have to prove that they're eligible for what the donations have been given for. I just think the report has to be very thorough on that at the beginning, so there's no blow up once it starts.
So this come to Chamber of Commerce, and those exact things from a volunteer committee, that's why we thought we need to go to council with this. So, you know,
because that
yes.
Side of it's very time consuming.
Well, with this motion, with a report back, what are we looking for as such? Like, you know, do we get Ashley Watt to come and present to council? He come and presented to chamber and invited community members last week. No, it's pretty.
May I ask, were the business houses interested in the concept?
Yeah.
Because it's not just
the financial, the start-up was the balking point.
Well, that was the balking point here initially, until...
And knowing that 30 other local government areas are administering this card, and they're all around us, and Gilgandra's just put $200,000 through these, and, you know, there's just... so many things we're missing out on.
But
so.
I think it also has to consider longevity post-natural disaster drought.
For sure.
Which I know the Midwestern one is working well.
And then also the, you know, the things to come, I asked about, because Cooler's already got these in place, I asked about how would that work. You know, Cooler could choose to stay with their own and then adopt this other card as well and still have just a local to Cooler and inclusive of the whole shire. Mary Waugh has done that with Arthur Hunter as well.
Yes. Yeah, the things that have been talked about would be dealt with in the report, I would have thought. And I don't think we should have to assume that there's only one provider of such cards. That would be in the report. Also in the report should be the risks, etc. So I think if we ask for a report, that I would assume all of these considerations will be reported.
Yes,
Mr. Mayor, there's no motion to actually for that item, so move in a second.
Councillor Rainey, Councillor Cable. We'll put the motion.
Put in.
Put the motion. Carry unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, that brings us to items that need to be considered in, or are recommended to be considered in closed council. The first one of which is 38.1, Organisational Development Monthly Report for February 2020. Our recommendation, therefore, to be considered in closed council in the 1002A of the Local Government Act.
Dunlover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill, those in favour? Councillor Nutty?
Oh, yes, I do.
Unanimous?
Next is item 38.2, support and maintenance end user support agreement. Recommendation for it to be considered in closed council on the 10A2D of the Local Government Act.
Can I move her?
I'll move.
Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. I'll put anybody in discussion on this. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Next is item 38.3, tenders for the hire of various plan items on a casual basis for 2020. Recommendation for this to be considered in closed council on the 10A2C and D of the Act.
Move it, Councillor Brady. Councillor Hill, any discussion on this item?
What are we doing?
You put the motion, those in favour? Councillor Hill, Councillor Brady.
Yeah.
Councillor Shinn?
Yep, what's it?
And finally, 38.4, regional tender for supply and delivery of concrete pipes and precast drainage products. Recommendation is to be considered in closed council under 10A2D of the Act.
Councillor Cable, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Would you like a break or carry on from here on?
Yeah, put
the
break.
Well, in that case, just before council does go into, sorry, I'm ahead of myself. The opportunity now exists for those members of the public still present. To come forward and present their arguments as to why council should not go into closed council. There are no submissions, Mr. Mayor. There's suspension of standing orders for a break.
Would you like a break or not?
I think so, just for 10 minutes.
Well, standing orders, you can move them to seconder. Councillor Cable and Councillor Brady. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Declare the closed section of the council meeting open.
Mr. Mayor, there's an item there now to. There's an item there to refer those items I mentioned a moment ago to close council. So there's a recommendation there on page 103 and 104.
Member Councillor Shinton. Seconder. Councillor Hill.
Mr. Mayor, just to. Could someone just back open the doors, please? And members of the public come back. Mr. Mayor, just to announce the decisions of closed council in relation to item 38.1, which is Organisational Development Monthly Report. The resolution of council was that the Organisational Development Monthly Report for February 2020 be noted for information. For 38.2, support and maintenance end user support agreement, council resolved that council enters into the support and maintenance end user support agreement 1 January 2020 to 31st of December 2020 with Tamworth Regional Council for the provision of information technology services. Item 38.3, tenders for the hire of various plan items on a casual basis. The resolution of council was, one, that tender rates for casual plan hire for the period 1 March 2019 to 28th February, so it should be 2020, sorry.
Yes.
To 28th February 2021, under the hourly rate schedule to be accepted, as per schedule one. That point two, council advised contractors that the following rates for supply of trucks under the hourly rate and distance schedule be accepted for the period 1 March 2020 to 28th February 2021 in accordance with schedule two. Point three is council advised contractors that the following rates for the supply of trucks under the float hourly rate and distance schedule will be accepted for the period 1 March 2020 to 28th February 2021. In accordance with Schedule 3, and point 4, council advised contractors that the following rates for supply of trucks under the quantity and distance schedule for the period 1 March 2020 to 28th February 2021 be accepted, and that's in accordance with Schedule truck quantity and distance schedule. And finally, item number 38.4, regional tender for supply and delivery of concrete pipes. The resolution of council was that one, Holcim Australia Proprietary Limited Trading as Humes be awarded the contract for supply and delivery of concrete pipes for the period 1 October 2019 to 30th of September 2021, and that date is correct. Point two, a provision be allowed for a 12-month extension based on satisfactory supply performance, which may take this contract through to the 30th of September 2022. And three, Holcim Australia Proprietary Limited Trading as Humes conforming price schedule be adopted for the term of the contract.
Yep. No further business, I'll declare the meeting closed. Next meeting in Canterbury on what date?
19th of March.
Okay.